Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be reading verse 47 down to verse 56 this morning. Matthew chapter 26. If you would stand with me, if you're able to, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew 26, verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, it is a tremendous blessing, God, to be assembled here today in your name, sensing your presence here. Thank you for what we've already received. But now, Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for each one of us through this passage. I pray, God, that you might bind any kind of satanic spirit that would be a hindrance to anyone here receiving what you have for them. Pray that you would empower the preaching once again. I ask, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we read this passage of Scripture, this would be known as the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas Iscariot that led to all the disciples forsaking him. Verse 56b, it says, Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What I want us to learn today from this particular passage of Scripture, I believe this is where God would have us to be this morning, is what Jesus taught Peter. Because Peter is the main character here that Jesus addresses and that takes part in trying to prevent Jesus from being arrested. So the first thing we look at here was Peter's willingness to die. Now, I think Peter gets a bad rap here. Many say that Peter really wasn't willing to die, but I think if you study the Scriptures, Peter drew his sword, was willing to fight, knowing that he would die in a physical battle with this great multitude. Because first of all, in verse 47, this is what the Bible says, And where they came, while he spoke, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves. They would have had soldiers with them. They would have had other men, laymen there. The soldiers would have had the swords. The laymen would have had the staves. But what we know is they all came with the intention to physically arrest Jesus and kill anybody that would stand in their way. They came ready to fight. The history tells us that there would have been this great multitude between 100 and 500 with them. The Bible says in verse 50, once they came and Judas betrays him with a kiss, then the Bible says, then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So this great multitude coming with swords and staves, and they grabbed a hold of Jesus and was arresting him to take him away. And it would have been, verse 51, and behold, one of them, which the scriptures revealed to us that this would have been Peter, and we'll see that in just a minute. But in Matthew's account, he says, and one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. So this disciple, which would have been Peter, pulled his sword knowing he would be killed in this battle that would pursue because they would have been greatly outnumbered. But in pulling his sword and striking this one servant of the high priest reveals his willingness to die. Peter's willingness to die, can I tell you, first of all, was noble. To be willing to lay down one's life for a cause or for someone else is a very noble thing to be willing to do. Can I tell you, in the day and age we live, there's many who do this every day. Many have laid down their lives in trying to help others. First responders, police, firemen, military. Especially here in the last couple years, nursing. With everything that's going on, many put their lives at risk for others. This was a very noble thing. It would have been a noble thing for Peter. Matter of fact, Jesus even addresses this idea of people being willing to lay down their lives for others. There in the book of John in chapter 15, let me just read to you a few of the scriptures that reveal this. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Very noble to have a great enough love for somebody else's life to be willing to lay down your life for that individual. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 5, the scriptures say this in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. What a noble, no doubt a noble gesture to be willing to lay down your life. Peter had already committed himself to die for a righteous man. For no doubt, all of the disciples had looked to Jesus Christ as being a righteous man. none of them had gotten to the place to see him for who he truly was and is, and that is God. Back over in Matthew, our text here, before this, in the same chapter, in chapter 26 and verse 35, when Jesus told them that they would all forsake him, the Bible says Peter spoke up. Verse 35, and Peter said unto him, Though I should die with you. He had already committed to Jesus and to the cause, if you will, more of a noble gesture. He was already committed to, if it took him to die for this righteous man, he was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to die with thee. And he says, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They had forsaken everything. They had left everything and they had followed him. And in doing that, I believe they had all somewhat known that there was a possibility that they would have to die for this righteous man. Even though it was noble, it was not what Jesus wanted for any of them. He did not want them to lay down their lives for a noble cause. He did not want them to lay down their life for a friend. He did not want them to lay down their lives for a righteous man. Nothing wrong with that. That's a noble gesture. But that's not what he was preparing them for. See, Jesus, knowing that he had something greater than that for them to do, he kept Peter from being killed. Peter was willing to die. I think when he drew his sword, he realized he would fight till he was killed himself. But in his mind, I'm going to take out as many as I can take out. I'm going to give my life protecting this cause, this man, this righteous man. Now, a couple other passages of scriptures that will help us with this. First of all, our text in verse 51, Jesus kept Peter from being killed, and he says in verse 51, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. So after Peter did this, Jesus addresses him over in John's account, in John chapter 18, and I love it when we find the different accounts of the very same event, because it helps gives us a better picture of exactly what took place. And in John chapter 18, we find this very same event in the life of Christ. And verse 10, it says, and then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. So John reveals who it was of the apostles. Now, even without John's writing, all of us, if you know the Bible and you know the character of Peter, you would have said he was the one. He would have been the first one to draw his sword and be willing to fight till death. But we don't have to speculate, because in John's account, John reveals it to be Peter. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote. He gives us detail about who it was that he tried to kill. And smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. See, John knew that this was the high priest's servant. He knew his name. And he knew that if Peter would have killed him, they would have killed Peter. Even cutting off his ear, attempting to kill him, would have led the other soldiers and the servants of the high priest to kill Peter to get rid of this threat. But then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now look over with me to the book of Luke, because Luke gives us a little bit more insight into this so that we can fully understand that Peter was willing to die and would have died if Jesus had not intervened for Peter. In Luke in chapter 22, look at verse 50. Luke chapter 22 and verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. There again, we find Luke's account revealing that one of them, not telling us it was Peter, but we know it to be Peter. But then verse 51, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Now, put yourself there. Peter was just one of the 11 with Jesus right now. Judas had brought this great multitude. They all had swords and staves, and they were ready to fight to arrest Jesus. If it meant having to kill all of those that were followers of Jesus Christ, then they brought enough men to do that. And so when they grabbed hold of Jesus and Peter drew the sword, knowing against 11 of them, against possibly 100 to 500 others, we don't stand a physical chance of winning this battle, but I've already committed to dying for this man, this righteous man, for this cause. And he pulled out his sword and he started to eliminate those that had come to arrest Jesus. And he cuts off his ear. Now, the others would have had their swords drawn and they were getting ready to come and kill Peter. And Jesus, at that time, then whether or not he picked up the ear, or if the ear was just dangling right there, but either way, we find that Jesus performed a miracle healing and touched this servant's ear and healed it. Now that becomes what everyone's focused on. Jesus knew that Peter would have been killed, but it was not God's will for Peter to die quite yet. It was not God's will for Peter to sacrifice his life for a noble cause. There was something greater for Peter to give his life for. And so we find here Jesus knowing this, then he performs this miracle, and then he draws the attention back to himself, and then he addresses Peter, and then he addresses the crowd that came to arrest him. You see, Jesus, verse 53, as he addresses Peter back in our text here, Luke chapter 26 and verse 53, he addresses Peter and says, thinkest thou? Peter, think. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now that no doubt was stick in Peter's mind, his conscious mind. He wouldn't understand it till a little bit later. But Peter, you're noble in your willingness, but you're not thinking clearly. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? See, Jesus would live and die according to faith in God's will. And that's what he wanted for Peter. That's what he wanted for every born-again believer. That's what he still wants. Are we giving ourselves to live a Christian life because of a good cause? Are we giving ourselves to live a Christian life because we believe that Jesus was a good man, a righteous man? Are we living our lives for Christ because it's the best thing that we can think of for the world? There's a lot of different things that might be going through the minds of those that are looking to live a Christian life today. Jesus gave the answer. Jesus would live and die according to the Father's will. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? The scriptures are God's words. It's God's message to humanity. Verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Peter was willing to die, but it was not God's will for Peter to die. Yet. Peter's faith was not yet strong enough to keep him from being offended. He thought it was. He even said, I'll not be offended in you. Verse 52, Jesus addressed him and said, put up your sword. He put the ear of the servant back on him, performed a miracle to get the focus off of Peter and back on himself, which actually saved Peter's life. But then Peter forsook him and fled. Peter's thinking was noble, but not God's will. And because his thinking was wrong, he was offended by what took place. See, verse 54, what Jesus was saying to Peter was, trust me, do not be offended in my words or my plan. Follow me. Can I tell you that sometimes we make terrible decisions based upon being offended? You're offended by your spouse, and so you respond in a wrong way. You're offended by your parents, and you have wrong thinking toward your parents. Yeah. We make terrible decisions based upon being offended, but none as important as being offended for Christ and Christ. Sometimes we might be offended by what God says. We're living in a society today that is not in agreement with the Bible. Even in the so-called Christian, not in agreement with the teachings of Christ. And because we think that people ought to be a little bit more worldly minded, to let everyone do and live however they want to live, then we're offended when we hear the Bible preached and the words of Christ do not set well with society. And sometimes as Christians, then we allow that to keep us from serving and witnessing for Christ. I've often said, if I offend you, then I'll apologize. If what I preach, as long as I know it is Bible, if that offends you, I offer no apology. Because I'm here to live in representing Christ. And if I'm here representing Christ, when I know that Jesus Christ is God, he was God manifested in the flesh, if I know him to be the creator of humanity, there's no one who knows what's best for humanity than the one who designed humanity and instructed humanity. I am not going to allow the world's thinking to keep me from preaching the truths of God's word. I am not going to be offended by what the Bible teaches. I'm going to teach what the Bible teaches. I'm going to preach what the Bible reveals to us as being God's will for humanity. What people need is not to be offended by the Bible and thus forget to preach it or to turn away from it. What people need today is to understand that if it's God's word, it needs to be understood. Because if God is a creator, and he is, there's no one who knows what's best for humanity than the one who designed it. And this Bible right here has been preserved by God that we might know the thinking of God. Don't be offended by it. Don't let others cause you to be offended by it. What they need, whether they understand or not, is what it says. What society needs, whether they understand or not, is what the Bible says. Jesus was saying to Peter, it's not a time to die right now. I've got something better for you. I want you to live for me. There will come a day when you will die for me, but Peter, right now, you're thinking it's noble to die for me. I've not got you here to die for me right now. I've got you here to live for me. Sometimes we make terrible decisions. Cutting the ear off of a servant of the high priest. Noble. Wasn't what God had him there to do. Yeah. Some are offended by God not answering their prayers the way they think that God ought to answer their prayers. Always brings back to mind when I think about this. A man was coming to the church and come up here, wanted me to pray with him. I prayed with him. He said, I'm praying. I'm in church. I want God to spare my mom. She's dying. I'm in church because I want God to answer my prayer, and I want her to live. And I prayed with him, and I prayed, if God be your will, then put a healing hand upon his mom and let her live. He came for a couple weeks, and he was gone. I went and visited him. He said, I'm never coming back again. I said, why aren't you never coming? Because my mom died. God did not answer my prayer. And I said, you're wrong there. God did answer your prayer, but it was God's will for your mom to be taken on to glory. I said, you have to be able to allow God to be God. He said, no, preacher, I'm never going back to church again. Because he was offended that God did not answer his prayers the way he wanted God to answer his prayers. Wow. He got out of church. I don't know what happened to him after that. Not seen or talked to him at all. Offended. Sometimes people react and make terrible decisions because they've been offended by other church members. What's happened in church? And they blame God. They blame that individual as representing God. Well, that's what Christianity is about. I'm never going back to that church. Peter, because he was offended in Christ rebuking him, forsook, as did all the disciples, forsook him and fled. Peter forsook Christ. He would afterwards deny Christ. He spent 3 days being possibly the most miserable days of his life. Yeah. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33. This is what Peter had just said before that. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Yet will I never be offended in you, in Christ. Noble. But his faith was not there because he ended up being offended in Christ. And he forsook him, denied him, tried to live without him. Most miserable. The most miserable person in the world is not the lost man, definitely not the saved man. It is a saved man trying to live like a lost man. That's the most miserable person in the world. The Bible says in Matthew 11:6, Jesus says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Some people are living their lives being offended and are miserable. You need to turn away from that. You need to have the understanding of who God is. And as long as you have life to live, you need to commit your life to living for Christ. And if you can live your life committed to Christ, then you're ready to die when it is God's will for you to die in Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a way to live. What a way to die. Peter was not there. The disciples, none of them were there because they were just following a noble cause. They were willing to lay down their lives even for a good man, a righteous man, but that was not God's will for them. Because God's will is so much greater. Live to accomplish whatever God has for you to accomplish. And when it's time for you to die, you'll die in faith. There's not a better way to die than knowing that I have accomplished what God had me here to live for. Chapter 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, and which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter would repent and increase his faith to be able to live for Christ and, in God's will, die for Christ. Following the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, many of his disciples had faith to live and then die for Christ. And it is through secular history that we learn these things. Stephen, although it's in Scripture, was stoned, accomplishing what Christ had for him to accomplish in this life, and then he died in faith. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark was dragged through the streets until dead. Luke was hanged. Peter and Simeon crucified. Peter crucified upside down. Andrew burned on a cross. James beheaded. Philip stoned. Bartholomew was tortured. Thomas pierced with lances. James the Less thrown from the temple wall. Jude shot to death with arrows. Matthias stoned to death. Paul beheaded. None would denounce Christ. Can I tell you, it was their testimonies, as well as other believers who lived and died in faith, which led the Emperor of Rome, Constantine, to adopt Christianity as a state religion of Rome in 313. Rome ruled the world. Superpower. Before this, it was Caesar that was persecuting Christianity. It was Caesar who destroyed Jerusalem. But when Constantine became the emperor of Rome and he looked at the testimony of the believers, he looked back at the history of the testimony and the willingness to die for the person of Christ. Knew there was something to that belief. And he sought out Christianity. In 313, Rome, who ruled the world, adopted Christianity as their state religion. Now, they made a lot of mistakes afterwards, and the Roman Catholic Church went a different direction, but the idea was it was a testimony of the disciples and how they lived and how they were willing to die that impacted the world for the cause of Christ. Peter would repent and increase his faith to be able to live for Christ. What a lesson. The question would be, do I have faith to not be offended, to be able to live as a testimony to Christianity, even if it meant giving my life the cause of Christ? I don't know. World's changing. This United States of America is changing. Many believers are already offended in the teachings of the Bible. Need to learn the lesson that God had for us through Peter. Get our thinking straight. It's not what I think. It's what the Bible teaches that I need to live by. And when it comes time, my faith to live by is the kind of faith that I'm ready to die by. Are we there? Are we living by faith to accomplish God's will for our lives? If I could have every head bowed this morning. The truths of God's word, don't ever be offended by it. No, receive it. And have a testimony of living by faith the life that God would have us to live. Genuine Christ-likeness. If we live by that, whenever the time comes, we'll be ready to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Father, we bow before you this morning, and I thank you, God, for this passage of scripture that we find and the betrayal that led to all the disciples forsaking Christ, but Jesus getting this truth across to help us even today to realize that you have a greater purpose for our lives than just being noble, but you have life-changing purposes that'll affect the world. Help us, God, not to be offended, but help us to live our lives based upon your will. Work in our midst now, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.